Time for some world sport from the BBC with me, Hugh Ferris. Coming up, Barcelona stunned at the San Siro as Milan take a first leg advantage in their Champions League tie. We consider why Lance Armstrong decides not to meet with USADA again.
Anyone who follows cycling knows it's not just about Lance Armstrong. He's the most high profile and in some respects the guiltiest party, but he's not. He wasn't the guy that invented doping in cycling. There's a whole culture there.
And would you believe it? Golf is snowed off in Arizona. But first, favourites Barcelona have suffered a 2-0 defeat to AC Milan in the first leg of their European Champions League last 16 tie in Italy, while Schalke scored a valuable away goal in a 1-1 draw at Galatasaray. With more details, Joe Parsons.
Barcelona are 12 points clear in the Spanish league, while Milan are third in Serie A. But that counted for nothing as Milan notched up their first win over their opponents in 8 attempts. Kevin Prince-Boateng gave Milan the lead in controversial circumstances in the 57th minute. Christian Zapata appeared to handle Ricardo Montolivo's assist in the build-up. The Barca players protested, earning only a booking for Gerard Piqué. Sonny Montari sealed the win 9 minutes from time with a well-worked goal set up by substitute Mbai Niang and Stefan El-Shaarawy. The result caps a stunning turnaround of fortunes for Milan. Massimiliano Allegri's side started the season dreadfully, dropping as low as 15th in Serie A. Meanwhile, Schalke remain unbeaten in the Champions League after their 1-1 draw with Galatasaray in Istanbul. But Jermaine Jones, who scored the equaliser for the Germans just before the break, will miss the second leg through suspension after picking up his third yellow card of the competition. Burak Yilmaz had given Galatasaray the lead against the run of play in the 12th minute. Didier Drogba, playing his second match for his new club, linked up well with Yilmaz in attack, but Wesley Schneider was substituted after the first half.
Back to the San Siro then, where Italian football expert Tancredi Palmeri was watching, and he says the surprise wasn't necessarily the performance of the Rossoneri, but rather Barca failing to find an extra gear in adversity.
Me too, I would believe in such a performance from Milan, but I believe nobody would believe in such a performance from Barcelona, because the news tonight is not that Milan did good, even though the news is that the central defenders of Milan did almost perfect. The news is that Barcelona, they've been absolutely nothing, and they showed no reaction, they showed no spirit. I mean, it is pretty clear that they underestimated the rivals, and you can never do this in Champions League. You can't depend always from Messi, and maybe there is missing a bit of charisma of someone telling to Messi or to the big bailiffs when it's the time to speed up, because he's not good in that way.
The head of Interpol is due to address members of the Asian football community on Thursday at their conference in Malaysia, where they've been discussing corruption in the sport. The acting president of the Asian Football Confederation, Zhang Jilong, described match fixing as a cancer on the sport. Early this month, it was claimed by European police that Asia was at the centre of a match fixing ring that had targeted some 380 games in Europe. And on Tuesday, Shanghai Shenhua was stripped of their 2003 league title and fined $160,000 as part of sanctions aimed at ending match fixing in the Chinese Super League. 33 officials were also banned for life. The BBC's Jonah Fisher is in Malaysia, and he says those attending the conference certainly seem to be taking the matter seriously.
One theme which came across repeatedly was that this was a battle which the football institutions of Asia couldn't fight on their own, that this meeting would be about educating people about match fixing, educating officials, educating players, so they can be better prepared to resist match fixing. But without greater efforts from the governments and police agencies across Asia, this problem will never be solved. That it has to be moved up the list of priorities. Countries have to prioritise tackling those brokers and those bookies who are funding these match fixing operations, which now span the world. And without that political will, this problem will never be solved.
South African prosecutors have said they're not sure whether the substance they found at the house of Oscar Pistorius was testosterone. An investigating officer had claimed during Pistorius' bail hearing that police found two boxes of the banned substance and needles in the bedroom of the Olympic athlete, who denies the premeditated murder of his girlfriend Reeva Steenkamp. A spokesman for South Africa's National Prosecution Agency said it was too early to identify the substance as it was still undergoing laboratory tests. The United States anti-doping agency is to continue with their bid to clean up cycling without the help of Lance Armstrong, after the American rejected another deadline to agree to testify under oath to anti-doping investigators. The disgraced cyclist will not cooperate with the investigation, but would be willing to help other anti-doping inquiries. A statement said he will not participate in prosecutions that only demonize selected individuals. The move is likely to reduce his chances of having his life ban lifted. In a statement, USADA said, over the last few weeks, he has led us to believe that he wanted to come in and assist USADA, but was worried of potential criminal and civil liability if he did so. Today we learned from the media that Mr. Armstrong is choosing not to come in and be truthful, and that he will not take the opportunity to work toward righting his wrongs in sport. The cycling journalist Richard Moore has told the BBC he's not surprised by Armstrong's decision, as the American feels he's the victim of a witch hunt by USADA.
His argument is that it's not just about him, and I think that anyone who follows cycling knows it's not just about Lance Armstrong. He's the most high profile and in some respects the guiltiest party, but he's not, he wasn't the guy that invented doping in cycling. There's a whole culture there, and it is very important to find out the truth from Lance Armstrong, and also to really chase some of the individuals that he was involved with, because they are among the most culpable people. People like Dr. Michele Ferrari, who's been involved for a long time, and a guy like that needs to be, the truth needs to come out. But, I can see the point that if there's going to be some kind of, I'm uncomfortable using the phrase truth and reconciliation, to be honest, but if there's some kind of process by which the truth is properly explored, then I don't see the point in just pursuing one individual. I think that it needs to be a sport-wide process, and it needs to involve everybody who's been involved in doping and cycling for many years.
Meanwhile, at the World Track Cycling Championships in Belarus, Australia gained some revenge over Great Britain as they won the Team Pursuit title, reversing the result from the 2012 Olympics. Germany won the women's team sprint, as they did in London. In non-Olympic events, the American Sarah Hammer won her fifth individual pursuit title, while Francois Pervis of France was victorious in the men's 1 kilometre time trial. Golf and snow in Arizona has forced the first day's play at the WGC match play to be abandoned. Just over 3.5 hours of golf was possible before play was stopped on a bitterly cold and breezy morning at Dove Mountain as ice began to form on the greens. A thick blanket of snow covered the entire course, including the driving range and practice putting green. Our golf correspondent Ian Carter reports.
Top-level golf turned into caddy-inspired snowball fights as a freak blizzard struck this desert venue. Within an hour, 2 inches of snow settled on the fairways, leaving organisers no alternative but to call off play for the day. The knockout nature of the event means the schedule will be able to get back into line to ensure the tournament does finish on time. No matches have been completed so far, though. Rory McIlroy is yet to start his match against Shane Lowry.
English golfer Ian Poulter was winning his match against Stephen Gallagher when the snow came to the Arizona desert.
Yeah, factor it in where we actually are. I mean, a couple of years ago we had a kind of a flash hailstorm for 20 minutes, but I mean, not have we seen 2 inches plus snow on a tournament venue before, I don't think.
Cricket and Pakistan have recalled Shahid Afridi to the one-day squad for the forthcoming series in South Africa, saying it's his final chance to prove himself. Afridi was left out of the squad for last year's limited overs series in India after his performance with both bat and ball slumped. He's also been named in the squad for the T20 internationals in South Africa. And one of the world's top wrestlers, Valentin Yordanov, has said he will return his Olympic gold medal to protest the IOC decision to drop wrestling from the Olympic program from 2020. Yordanov, who's also president of the Bulgarian Wrestling Federation, won Olympic gold at the 1996 Games in Atlanta. The seven-time world champion says the combined efforts of all national federations will keep wrestling's deserved place at the Olympics. That is the latest world sport from the BBC.